5 is where we are tonight, and we're going to be talking tonight about casting our cares on the Lord. Just, I think, a very appropriate and helpful message tonight. We'll read the passage, and I'm going to read an additional passage from Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll get started. Philippians, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we're looking at the concept of cares, of anxiety, and how to cast our cares on the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that. I'll say, Claudia, glad you could join us tonight. And that is wonderful that you can join us and others that have joined us as well. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you and thank you for the fact that you care so deeply for us. We really have to look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ, with the fact that he came and chose, Jesus came and chose to, who is very God, to take on human flesh, to humble himself, to ascend to the cross, to take on our sin, so that he could give us his righteousness. What wondrous love is this? And not only that, but every day he liveth to make intercession for us. Your spirit does as well. And so we know that you very much care for us. And we are grateful for that. And in fact, you care for us so much as a Heavenly Father that you have provided a method for us to be able to cast our cares on you. And I pray tonight that we would be, in some cases, educated about that and how to do it, in some cases reminded about the truth of how to do that. But tonight I pray that we would be a blessing to those who have joined us, to again remind us of how to cast our cares on you. And Lord, those who have joined us who aren't members of our church, that have joined us by way of Facebook and or sermon audio or YouTube, however they're choosing to join us tonight, we're just thrilled that they're here. I pray that they would be blessed by this as well. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, one of the things I want to note, first of all, in this passage in 1 Peter is this. It says, casting all your care upon him. The passage actually assumes that you and I will have cares. It assumes that to be true. It's not if, it doesn't say if you have care cast on him. It's not a matter of if for a Christian or for anybody for that matter. It is when. We will have cares in this life. What is care? Well, care is associated, part of what care is, and we're going to learn about what this is, but part of what it is it has to do, it's associated with anxiety. So what is anxiety? Well, one person identified anxiety this way. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing back and forth, somatic complaints, and rumination. It is subjectively unpleasant feelings of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of imminent death. Anxiety is not the same as fear, which we talked about on Sunday, which is a response to real or perceived immediate threat, whereas anxiety is the expectation of future threat. Anxiety is a fear of uneasiness and worry, usually generalized and unfocused as an overreaction to a situation that is only subjectively seen as menacing. It is often accompanied by muscular tension, restlessness, fatigue, and problems in concentration. A man by the name of Soren Kierkegaard, he wrote a book called The Concept of Anxiety all the way back in 1844. Kierkegaard he was a pastor who spent some of his time in prison. I need to give a disclaimer that in some of his writings are very mystical, and so you can't follow everything that he says for sure. But he knew something of the concept of anxiety because he was under persecution a lot of his ministry, and he was in prison for some of his ministry as well. And he wrote this book, and he called it, he said it was associated with a dizziness. He called anxiety the dizziness of freedom. And he suggested the possibility for positive resolution of anxiety through self-conscious exercise of responsibility and choosing. He says it has something to do with responsibility, with the amount of responsibility we're taking. And we'll flesh all of this out in a few moments. Another man in 2004 by the name of Capgemini wrote, "Today we are all faced with greater choice, more competition, and less time to consider our options or seek out right advice." And he suggested that that is going to cause more unpredictability in life and uncertainty that may trigger emotional response and increased levels of anxiety. And we see that in our world, that we're living in a day, certainly in the last couple of weeks, where there is a heightened level of anxiety. In fact, Yesterday, some of you already may have noticed, I got my hair cut between Sunday and today. That was actually more difficult than I expected. My wife was insistent that I get my hair cut soon because she didn't want to cut it herself. And with everything closing down, she was concerned that she wouldn't be able to, so she started calling all of these different places. Well, I usually get my hair cut at a certain barber, and that was closed. I ended up having to go to a place called Sports Clips, which was interesting. But anyway, I went in there and was really felt fairly disoriented. I hadn't been in any place like that before. And this lady there's a couple of ladies in there, and she cut my hair and she talked the whole time, which I'm not used to. I'm used to going to a barber shop where a guy cuts my hair and he says very little, and that's kind of what we talk a little bit, but not that much, and he gets my hair cut and I leave. But anyway, this lady obviously was exhibiting a great deal of fear and confusion and anxiety, and she was actually self-contradictory. She was worried about this coronavirus. On one hand, she's saying it's no big deal. On the other hand, she's saying she's afraid for her kids. Another time, she's saying, oh, I don't like the fact that I'm working here right now, and I'm thinking, you're cutting my hair. Anyway, that was kind of interesting, but it did demonstrate the kind of fear that people are feeling right now. And the kind of anxiety. The anxiety is sort of looking ahead and anticipating something that isn't actually happening and worrying about it. And isn't that true that we do that? We do, unfortunately, do that. And we are tempted with the situation that we find ourselves in. Not just the possibility of getting disease, the coronavirus, but the possibility of financial crisis, the possibility of the fact that the stock market is going definitely the wrong direction and those kinds of things. There's all kinds of issues as to why this might be happening or why we might be experiencing anxiety. Well, let's look at what the Bible says here. And we're looking here then at, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 5 already. So the question then becomes, how is it that we deal with the cares of this life? Well, first we need to understand the reality. There is a reality we must begin with. And we understand that the reality of life's cares. We are going to have cares in this life. 1 Peter 4:12 says it this way, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So the Bible says that fiery trials are going. Don't be surprised when this happens. And it tells us, actually, there's this word care that's used throughout Scripture. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it actually says that we ought to have care one for another. It says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And it's actually the same word there. So what is it talking about when it's talking about this care? Scripture gives us clear direction that we need to cast out the cares. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, Likewise, younger, submit yourselves to the other. God resist the proud, give grace to them. And he says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. So God says, we're going to have cares. It assumes we're going to have cares, but that we need to cast our cares on God. Well, how do we cast our cares on God? That really becomes, we're going to have them. We need to cast them on God. That's what God says to do. How do we do that? Number two, how do we do that? We must identify the source. What is the source of our cares? We've got to understand and we've got to identify the source. And the Bible actually says that there are three different sources. There are three different sources in our cares. All right, I'm going to ask you the question before we go on. Where do you think are, what are these sources? Where do these sources come from? Sources of our cares. Where do they come from? Any ideas? All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and keep going here. The first one is the necessities of life. So Luke chapter 21, verse 34 says this, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life." Weight of this life, the cares that weigh us down, "lest your hearts be weighed down by the cares of this life." So there's this there's this reality that the cares of this life weigh us down. These are those things that are absolutely necessary, the things that we need, the things that are required, food and clothing and shelter. These are the cares of this life. And really, in our day, right now, in the last couple of weeks, have we not been more occupied with the cares of this life? In the beginning, it was kind of funny, you know, with the toilet paper, and you can't find toilet paper anywhere. You still can't find toilet paper in too many places. It's starting to come back a little bit, but basically, I mean, you go in all the shelves and there's a run on toilet paper everywhere. It's a problem. You've got this, but now it's not as funny. We're looking ahead. The CDC recently said we might have, you know, up to 8 weeks of this or maybe more. We don't really know what the future holds. And so now we're all getting a little bit concerned about just our basic necessities, the cares of this life. We're looking at the stock market. We're seeing things drop. We're looking at our IRAs or our 401ks, or maybe we shouldn't be looking at them. But whatever it is, we're looking at those things and we're concerned, and that's going to have, those are going to be cares. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "That which fell on them are these, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and pleasures of this life." Now, what's talking about that in that passage in Luke 8? It's talking about the sower and the seed being sown into the soil. The seed in that passage is the word of God. It's sown into soil. And the Bible says that there's a real possibility that the cares of this life pluck up the seed from taking root in the soil of our souls. That when we have cares, if we don't deal with the cares right, it keeps us from allowing the Word of God to take root in the way that it otherwise would. So the cares of this life are a big deal, and they are cares that God says we're going to have, and they are cares that are the necessity of our existence. The second care in Scripture is the care of family responsibility. We've got care of personal, taking care of things, necessities of existence. And the second care is the care of family responsibility. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, it says, "I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, and that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. That she is married, but she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, we're not going to get into all the details of all what that means, but the bottom line is that there's a second kind of care in Scripture that if you have a family, and most of us do on one level or another, if you have a family, then you're going to have another layer. You've got the layer of the cares of necessity of existence. But now there's another layer built up on that, and that's the layer of family responsibility. Fathers have a care for their wives and for their kids. There is a second layer of family responsibility. Mothers have a care for their husbands and for their kids. So there's this second layer. Kids don't have... Isn't it interesting if you want to contrast adults versus kids? Kids often don't have number one. Maybe they have a little bit. They have a little bit of concern, but usually they can rely on their parents to help them to take care of number one for them. Kids don't have number two as a whole either. We almost think of it as sort of tragic when a child does have to deal with those kinds of things, realities of life. But as adults, we have these things. And there's no question about it. The Bible says we're going to have them. And then number three, the cares of ministry. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul said that he was burdened, that he had the care not only of personal responsibility. He actually said he didn't have much family responsibility. That's why one of the reasons he chose not to be married. He chose to be a widower, actually, most likely. Just to serve the Lord wholeheartedly. But he did have the cares of ministry. That is a third level of cares. A mature Christian, on some level, is going to have the cares of ministry. You might hold a position in the church as a deacon or elder or pastor. You might have a position as a Sunday school teacher, whatever you're doing, just in different helps ministries in the church, whatever you're doing, there's an additional care. So the Bible says these are the three cares, the three kinds of cares that we find in Scripture. Now here's what's interesting. Are any of these cares bad? They're not. They're all bad. They're all assumed. Do all of these cares have weight to them? They do. All of these cares have weight to them. All of these cares have a level of responsibility. There is a responsibility associated with all three of these cares. Now, here is what God does and doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to just shirk our responsibilities. He doesn't want us to, when he says cast all your cares on him, here's what God is not saying. God is not saying get rid of your responsibilities. You know, unfortunately, there are people in our culture that's their goal, to have as little of the responsibilities that they possibly can. They don't want really responsibility of their own even personal needs. They don't want a family. They don't want the extra responsibility. They don't want the extra responsibility of ministry and church ministry. Their way of coping, their way of dealing with anxiety is to just get rid of the responsibility, to let go of the responsibility. That can't possibly be what God is teaching when he says cast all our cares on him. There has to be something else that he is teaching. On the other hand, we have to understand this. That on the other hand, we have to identify what really is our responsibility. Are we taking on things on ourselves that don't follow into any three of these categories? Are there things that we are occupying our time with, or we're taking on in other words, there's a possibility that we look at our responsibilities and we take on more than we're supposed to be taking on. Maybe you're a wife and you're taking on your husband's responsibilities in addition to yours. Maybe you're a husband and you're taking on your wife's responsibility in addition to yours. Maybe you're a coworker. You know, you're a worker. You're working in a job and you're taking on somebody else's responsibility. So it doesn't mean that we don't help each other out. It doesn't mean we don't love. That third tier is the care of ministry, where we do love each other. We do show care. But we have to be careful how much we are taking on, what really is our responsibility and really what isn't our responsibility. Now, that's important. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute because I think some people have tried to answer the question I picked up earlier. So let's see what folks are saying. Okay, I think I asked earlier something to the effect of where do we get our cares from? Physical well-being. That's correct. Good. That's right, Myrna. And number one, that comes under number one, our physical well-being. Caitlin says family. Okay, so it's a, that must be my wife. So when it says Bethel Baptist Church there, it could be from my wife, it could be from Pat, or it could be from Joy, anybody that's an administrator. My wife and I have a joint account anyway. So Caitlin says family. Yes, that's right. Number two. Very good. That's number two. Our sins, okay, so our sins are something that we are supposed to cast off. Erica's saying sins or idols. Those are things that we should completely cast off. We should deal with them according to 1 John chapter 1, where we confess them. That's a little bit of a different. You're right that we can be burdened by our sin and burdened by idols. We will be unnecessarily burdened by idols if we have them in our lives. So in that sense, I see what you're saying. But when we're talking about cares that God assumes that we have, that we can cast on Him, that's a little bit different. Zach Ross says conflict. Yeah, so it's a good point. Actually, interestingly enough, when you look at this list, a lot of times there's an added weight to the care, which we're going to talk about. There's an added weight to the care when you have conflicts within these. For example, the necessities of life. If you have conflicts within your coworker, see, why do you go to work? Well, you go to work to glorify God ultimately, but you also go to work to take care of your food, clothes, that kind of thing. And then you have conflicts within that. That can be an additional problem. Same thing with family. A family has responsibility. You know, a father, a mother, brothers and sisters. You have responsibilities, and there's an additional weight when there's conflict within the responsibility. Same thing with ministry. Ministry can be a joy. Showing love to people can be a joy. But when you have, for example, people are questioning motives or there's discord or those kinds of things in the church, then suddenly you have an additional weight onto the care that is something that God really, really doesn't desire for us to have. So that's a good point that's factoring into all this. When things don't go the way we want, that does become something where we are burdened about. We do have to want what God wants, and that's important to constantly align our what we want with what God wants. I think that's very important to understand as well. Kristen says school. I would have to, yes, school can be a burden, can be a weight. Can be a care. I would probably have to put that under number one as well. Let's see. So Lisa says cares of how we are treated. Yeah, that can be a serious concern. And then Joey says we don't have to carry the weight of it. His yoke is light. Yes. Well, that actually brings us very much into the next section here. So we're going to move. The question then becomes, okay, we know where the cares come from. We know the source of the cares now. These are the sources. Okay, how do you cast your care on the Lord? Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And I'm going to take my Bible and turn there as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 6 rather. And Philippians 4, 6 says this. It says, my pages are sticking together, apparently. All right, it says, casting all your cares on Him, or it says, be careful for nothing. It starts off that way. Be careful for nothing. Okay, so wait a minute. Are these biblical cares that we're supposed to have? Answer, yes. Now, this passage is telling us to be careful for nothing. How is it that one passage is assuming we have cares, and yet another passage is now telling us that we need to be careful for nothing? And the answer to that is is, here's what the answer is not. Let me tell you a couple things what it's not. Number one, it's not get rid of your responsibilities. We talked about that already. The answer to the care is not to get rid of your responsibilities. So that's not it. The answer to the care is to, in dealing with the care and cast, is to understand that there is a weight associated with the care. So when you think of a care, you have a responsibility and you have a weight. If you think of weight plus responsibility equals care. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 says this, which of you by worrying, that's what we're talking about here, being anxious, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. It's a command. We are not to worry. In other words, folks, if we worry, we're sinning. Understand that. God does not want us to worry. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what ye have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, you do God's will. You do your responsibilities that God has given you to do. Fulfill your responsibilities as given to you. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay. What does that look like? What does it look like? Well, first of all, understand, we've got those three sources. Those three sources are important to understand. But I was thinking in terms of the concept of responsibility today and the whole concept of trying to figure out what to do with this whole coronavirus issue. There have been decisions I've had to make and the leadership of our church has had to make associated with this coronavirus, and that's correct. The things we've had to do, we've had to make decisions about, like closing church, that kind of thing. But it's actually the responsibility of the government. This is the biblical responsibility of the government to protect citizens. It's not my responsibility or your responsibility to protect citizens. It's the government's responsibility. Let me put it this way. We can look into all kinds of information. We can gather as much information about this as we can. I tend to be the kind of guy who likes facts. I like analysis, and I'll look at all kinds of different things. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, we do not have the scope or the ability to understand what we are dealing with when it comes to this virus. In fact, even our government officials have admitted that they don't really fully understand what's going on with this virus either. So what do we have to do in this situation? We have to understand what our responsibility is, and we have to understand what their responsibility is. Their responsibility is to protect citizens. You know what our responsibility is? To submit to their leadership. That's our responsibility. It's very clear in Romans chapter 13 that the powers that be are ordained of God. This is, you know, we can have debates over whether or not whether or not the government should have be in control over health care, or the government should be in control over other things. We can have debates over that. One debate you can't have biblically is whether or not the government should be protecting its citizens. That is the biblical role of government. And so what they're doing right now is something that we need to submit to, something we need to comply with and be cooperated with as much as possible in a way that makes sense. And understanding that, okay, what's our responsibility? Here's our responsibility. This is their responsibility. And ultimately, our responsibility is for the Lord. Now, once we've got that figured out, there are three other human method ways, and I want to mention these, of people try to deal with the care the weight of the responsibility. Number one way is we attempt to absolve ourselves of responsibility. We try to escape the responsibility, which we talked about already. That's one way to resolve it. Another way we try to solve the responsibility is we try to attempt to fix the problem. We try to outthink the problem so that we can solve the problem and we deal with it that way. Well, if you could fix a problem, fix a problem. But some problems you can't fix. Something God says, don't be surprised when you come into situations where you can't fix the problem. You've got to fulfill your responsibility and leave the rest to the Lord. And we need to understand that. Number three, sometimes people resort to medication, to physical ways of diet and exercise. And you know, diet and exercise is a good idea, and medication may sometimes be needed. But those aren't biblical ways of dealing with the cares. Now, here's what it looks like. Matthew 11:29 says this, and Joey actually quoted this. Christ says this, take my yoke, take my weight, is what he's saying, upon you and learn of me. Of course, a yoke, as you probably know, is a harness that was put onto two horses, usually, or whatever other kind of livestock that they used, and they would go, they would pull whatever they were pulling, a plow usually, and Jesus says this: "I take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And if you take my yoke, if you take my weight, then you'll actually find rest for your souls. For my yoke," he says, "is easy, and my burden is light." Okay, now this is really helpful for us if we just think through this. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do you know what we do with these cares that God says we're going to have? We have our yoke on ourselves. We have the weight, and we are going to try to control everything, and we're going to try to handle it ourselves, and we've got our yoke on ourselves rather than Christ's yoke on us. Here's what Jesus is offering. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things I'll add to you. Here's what he says here. He says, Jesus says, take my yoke, I'll take your yoke. Essentially, if you put those two ideas together, what Jesus is saying is, you take on my yoke that's light, I'll take on your heavy yoke and I'll deal with it. What a great exchange. It really looks like this. Every day I simply say, Lord, help me to fulfill the responsibilities you've given me, and I got to leave the rest up to you. Every day, it doesn't really matter what's happening to my IRA or my 401k. It doesn't really matter what's happening to the stock market. It doesn't really matter what's happening out in the world when it comes to viruses and all those kinds of things. We can pray about them. We can have concern for our. We can show love to others. We can do those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, that's not our weight. Our weight is to simply day by day fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us. For his kingdom, for his sake, we take on his weight and we leave the rest to him. And this is exactly how God desires for us to live. He wants us to live this way. Okay, now you're saying to yourself, well, how? How do I do this? And the answer to how you do this is found in Philippians chapter 4. It's back in that verse. This is the key. You want to know how? How are we going to deal with the cares of this world? I think what you have in this passage are four steps. Very rarely do you hear me say, there's five steps of this, or three steps of this, or four steps of this. It's very rare that I say that in preaching. But here's what I'm saying. I think there really are four steps to casting our care on the Lord from Philippians chapter 4. And it all has to do with prayer. So notice what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, the whole thing is talking about prayer. When it says, but by everything by prayer. Everything that from that word prayer on is talking about prayer. In fact, the word supplication means, and then it says, notice what it says there, by prayer and supplication, let your requests. It's like saying pray and then pray. But by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So what does it mean? Why would it say to pray, then and supplication and thanksgiving, and then pray? Why does it say that? Well, we need to understand there's something different about this first time it's used, the word prayer is used here. It's saying prayer. We need to pray before we pray. It's a general word. The Puritans said it this way. Pray before you pray. Now, here's what it means. It means that we need to quiet our hearts before God. How do we cast our care upon the Lord? The very first thing we need to do is to be quiet. Maybe that's a silver lining in what's going on right now. You notice restaurants are closed. Several, you know, businesses at night, they're closed. You're not taking your kid to karate. You're not taking your kid to sports. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. You're not taking your kid to dance or the drama or none of those are wrong, but you're not taking, that's not happening. I guarantee you in the next couple of weeks, we're not going to be as busy. What a wonderful time that we can just be quiet. Maybe God wants us to be quiet. And part of what God wants us to do is to settle our hearts and just be quiet, to be still and know that He is God. We get so busy. Our mind gets busy. We're running busy, busy, busy in our mind. God says, be still. Do you remember when Jesus was with His disciples? The disciples were all, they were in the boat. The storm was coming. Jesus was in the boat. Jesus is asleep. The disciples are all up in arms and all worried and anxious. And Jesus, what are we going to do? We're going to perish. What does Jesus say? Peace. Be what? Be still. Peace, be still. Step number one to casting your care on the Lord is you got to be still. You got to be quiet before God. Number two, supplication. Supplication is a very interesting word. It means destitute, poor. It's a similar word that's used in Matthew chapter 5 where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. But when we think of the term poor, we do not understand poor in this country. All right, in our country, if somebody is poor, it means, you know, the idea that somebody can't get food in our country, now maybe we're coming to a day where that's possible, but the idea that somebody can't absolutely have no source of place to get food in our country, that's not usually the case. But back in the first century, you had zero any kind of welfare system at all. There was no welfare system. There was no means by which anybody was getting food except if they were crippled, they couldn't work, the only place they could get help is from their families. Now, if they were crippled and they couldn't work and they couldn't get food, they weren't considered a, and they could get food from their families, they weren't considered a beggar. This word means to request as a beggar, to come to God as a beggar. But you're not a beggar if you got family that can help you. A beggar, the people that were on the side of the road begging for food were people that had no family. They had zero family. They had no means of supporting themselves because they were crippled, and it was a very agrarian society, a farming society. And they were on the side of the road begging. That's this word. What it's saying here, folks, is that we need to come to God as beggars to realize that we are poor before Him. Maybe we are physically rich. In our country, many of us are. But we are spiritually poor. We are destitute without God. We are beggars. And when we come to God, before we ever start listing our requests, the requests haven't come yet. It's just saying, first, be still and pray before you pray. And number two, let your, number two, supplication. Let your, come to God as a beggar, destitute. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him who was able to save from death and was heard and that he feared. Did you see that description in Hebrews chapter 5? With strong crying and tears was able to save him from death. This is the kind of position that we need to be before God. If we're going to cast our cares, that is, we don't shirk our responsibility, but we cast the weight of our responsibility on him. We first must be still. And secondly, we must come to God as destitute, totally dependent upon him. And then number three, we're not making requests yet. Number three, with thanksgiving. Do you see the third one? You remember the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Count your blessings, see what God has done. So, you know why we're so anxious? I guarantee you, you have somebody that is a really anxious person and they're not thankful. It is really hard, if not impossible, to be thankful and anxious at the same time. You know why we're not anxious? Because we're not thankful. You know why we're not thankful? Because we're not humble. So that's why God has this order. He says, be still, realize who you are, realize who God is, realize who you are, that you're poor in spirit, that you are destitute before God, that you need him. And then realize as you look around how much you have to be thankful for. And even though we may be going through difficult times, even now, some of you are going through difficult times. And some of us are going to go through difficult times in the future. You can always look around and see how thankful you can be. Thankful for your family. Thankful for a roof over your head. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for the fact that you know where you will spend eternity. Thankful for those kinds of things. If you know where you spend eternity, those kinds of things. Thankfulness. See, once we've done this, we've prayed, we've stilled our hearts before the Lord, we are now in the right position as a destitute beggar before God, and now we're thankful. We're actually so humble, so undeserving that we look around and we see all God's given us. Now we're prepared to make our request. And that's the fourth thing. To make your request before God. You are now in a legitimate position to make a scriptural request before God. You remember, there's several times it says this, John 15 as well as 1 John says this, that if you will ask according to God's will, he'll hear you. See, now we're in a place where we can make a biblical request. Because we're not just anxiously praying for whatever we can think of and worried this, that, the other thing, that kind of thing. This is how we usually try to deal with anxiety. Oh, God, do this for me. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, God, you're not doing this. I don't understand why you're doing this. We're just unsettled. Be still. Come to God in supplication. Thank God. And now we're ready to make our request. And you may have a very legitimate request. It may be, Lord, provide for my family. It may be, Lord, would you take care of my family? Would you take care of our needs? Would you take care of our church? Would you show me my responsibility? But there is a kind of a life that God wants us to live where we are simply fulfilling what God wants us to do each day, humbly following Christ day by day. We're casting our cares on God. We're taking the responsibility and casting the weight of the responsibility on him. And you know what happens when we do that? He'll take our care. He'll take the weight. You know why he'll take the weight? Because he cares. That's why. Now our time is a little bit over time from what I thought we were going to do. Let me look at here a little bit, come up some of the final questions we have here, or final comments. Susan says yes, there are trials. Notes that there's trials, that's for sure. Hisham says if we think the Christian life is do's and don'ts, it becomes a burden. Okay, good. And Claudius says, when what we think is under control suddenly spins out of control. Yeah, that often calls. And when that happens, when we think it's under control and suddenly spins out of control, like this coronavirus thing, we've got to settle down. We've got to look at our responsibility, fulfill our responsibilities. Don't shirk them, but fulfill them. And then take the weight and cast on the Lord who cares. Final thoughts here, including applications. Number one, anticipate cares. Realize they're going to happen. It's going to be a life. You're going to have them. You're going to need to identify the source of them. You need to identify what areas of responsibility you have. Anticipate cares. Number two, identify the source. Realize, okay, think about it. Where is this coming from? What is it? Is it a essential need? Is it a family care? Is it a care of ministry? Figure out where the care is, what the care is. Then isolate it and say, okay, what's my personal responsibility in the care? I want to make sure I'm doing that. And then apply the remedy. What's the remedy? These four things. Pray this way, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Pray this way. Cast the weight of the care on Him. Take the responsibility, for He cares for you. Hope that's a help to you. Let's pray together, and then we'll close this, and then we'll go to our other venue. Lord, thank You for the time that we can spend together tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would help us not only to be able to be reminded about how to cast our cares on You, but I pray also that You would help us to use these truths to help others that have weights and cares on them as well during this time. And so I pray, Lord, that You would just use us as salt and light in the earth right now. But Lord, may we have that peace that passes all understanding, because we know how, according to Your word, to cast our care on You. Thank You that You've provided that way for us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.